Welcome to the You Can Do It Too podcast, where we're going to talk about how to tackle tasks, finish projects, and fulfill your dreams one step at a time. Regardless of your situation, you can make it happen. It's the power of momentum and how real people are living their dreams. And I'm very excited today because we're talking with Michelle Frechette. Michelle is a woman of many, many talents. She has also a very interesting background. Michelle is an expert in many areas, including WordPress and website design, marketing, public speaking, coaching, writing. Michelle has an MBA in marketing, e-commerce, and information systems from the University of Rochester and also the very prestigious Simon School of Business. Michelle is the author of A Good Firm Handshake and Other Essential Business Tips and has been in web design and marketing for more than 10 years. Plus, Michelle is currently the head of customer success for a website called impress.org. So welcome, Michelle. Yay.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I would love to, like, you have such an extensive background, especially with marketing and that. So how did you actually choose marketing for your schooling?
So I didn't actually choose it right away. I did my undergrad in religion and philosophy. But I would challenge you, most 18-year-olds don't really know what they want to do with the rest of their life. So I thought that sounded like a really good idea. And I've always been involved in my church, so I don't regret it at all. But when I worked for the University of Rochester, I went to work there as the registrar of the Simon School of Business. And one of the perks was you could get college classes for free. So I thought, what the heck, I may as well see if I can get an MBA. An MBA is pretty marketable. And so I did. I took 2.5 years worth of courses, got my MBA for free, and I'm not a finance person. I'm not an accountant. Like, I really am more that whole, like, left-brained thing. And so what made sense for me was the marketing channel and to do the marketing concentration. And then because you could have more than one concentration, a lot of the courses, you know, kind of crossed over. I also did information systems management. And then while I was doing schooling, they came out with the e-commerce as well. And so I tripled up my concentrations and graduated in those areas, and then really kind of fell in love with the ability to help people market their businesses and even themselves. I do coaching and resume development and, you know, mock interviews and things like that to help people, not just marketing businesses, but marketing themselves into the right job for themselves.
That's awesome. So that's quite,
it was a path.
doing three of those at once. I can't even imagine. How on earth did you do that? Like with three programs?
It was interesting. So it was one program and you had to take X number of courses. I don't remember what it was now. And you had your core courses and then you could take whatever electives basically you wanted to. And so I took electives for marketing and information systems. And it was just another 2 or 3 classes to actually have the e-commerce on top of that. At the time I was working full time. I was a single mom of a 6-year-old. And so my daughter and I moved back in with my parents because I couldn't go to school, have her have a babysitter 2 nights a week until 10:30 at night, and feel like I was a good parent. So we moved back in with my folks, and my parents, you know, just were grandparents to her on the 2 nights that I had school, and they really made it possible for me to be able to do that and to be able to get that degree.
That's awesome that you had that support. And that's a big part too, right? Like looking for ways to get help while you're doing that and accepting that help. So that's awesome. So when was that you did that?
It was a long time ago. It was 20 years ago.
You don't mind.
I don't mind. It took me 2.5 years. I graduated in 2001 with my MBA.
Okay. And I was looking over your book and that, and so that was published in 2018. And you've spent like over 10 years doing marketing and helping people with their business and WordPress and all that. So what led you to writing your book?
So my best friend had written a book, and I had proofread it for her. And she and I were traveling up to Portland, Maine for a WordPress conference, a WordCamp Portland. And we were talking about her book and how it was going to be published soon. And I said to her, "I'm just so jealous," but in a wholesome way. I wasn't upset jealous. I said, "I'm so jealous that you're able to do that and write a book. It's always been something I wanted to do." And she says, "So do it." I said, "Well, what am I going to write about? I don't know what I'm going to write about." And she said, "You practically have it written already." And I wasn't sure what she was talking about. And she explained to me, I had been blogging, a business blogger for the local newspaper in Rochester, the Democrat and Chronicle, for almost 2 years at that point. She said, "Take every one of those blog posts, expand on them, using each one as a chapter, and you've got a book." So that's exactly what I did. It took me a year because a 350-word blog post is not a chapter. You really need to expand on that. So, those blog posts were really kind of the kernel, the core idea for each one of those chapters. And then I was able to kind of really flesh them out, fill them up, apply all those broad strokes and things to them, turn them into full chapters. Then I did a gap analysis to see if I was, a business owner, small business owner, or a manager in a small business, what else would I need to know? And I came up with a couple extra chapters to kind of make it a more complete work, so that they would have a little more of a soup to nuts idea of what to do. And then it was really important to me that you didn't have to read the whole book from the front to the back in any order to be able to get anything out of it. So really each chapter can be read in any order or independently of one another. If you want to know more about business cards, you can read that. If you want to know about why entrepreneurs and managers should take vacations, read that chapter. So you could read them in any order, anything that kind of struck your fancy, so to speak. And so I spent a year just working on that. I actually got the most writing done was I checked myself into hotels three times for a long weekend, like ordered food in and became like a hermit in a hotel room, away from my family, away from everything else, and just sat there with my laptop writing. And after a year, I was able to do it. I published it on Amazon.com. Where it's available now. It's only now that we've experienced global pandemic that I wish I had named it something other than a good firm handshake because we're not doing that anymore. But live and learn. It's still a good title, and it's still a good chapter on how we need to teach youth to be able to interact in a business way. So that's where it came from.
The principle applies of having that professional conversation, right? And having,
Absolutely.
yeah, and also setting boundaries too, right?
For sure.
It's interesting, right? Because that's like you already had content, so you kind of had a pretty good outline. And so that's something too, of if people are thinking about what to write about and they're not sure, if they already have a blog, you've got a whole bunch of ideas right there, right? So that's awesome. Did you when you were writing, it was I thought that was interesting that you would check into a hotel and kind of like self-isolate, a term we're now really familiar with, to be focused. What kind of obstacles did you face when you were writing your book? Like, was there anything in your head or family objections or problems or anything like that?
Mostly it was really writer's block where I would read the blog post because when you write a blog, you have to be succinct or you lose readers, right? So I would read that blog post and think, it's all there. How else can I expand on that? And yet people teach entire semesters on some of the things that are a chapter in a book. So I had to challenge myself to see if I didn't know what kind of else went with this, what would I need to learn? And so adding all of those things. So I did have writer's block now and then. I would literally sit there and look at the chapter on the screen and go, what else can I add? And so really kind of fleshing out. And some of the things I did was have other people read chapters and say, what's missing? I had two different friends read through the entire book and tell me, what do you feel like you read a chapter and still don't understand about it? And so I got some really good feedback from some people who was able to add more to make it more digestible for other people so that it was not, you didn't get to the end and think, where's dessert? Or I didn't really understand how to apply what I learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea to get some feedback from people you trust, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, of course.
And to be open to that, right? Because they're going to have a different perspective and a different ideas, and just being told, yeah, that's wonderful, isn't that helpful? Right? When
right.
you're trying to learn
exactly.
and grow and expand, right? That's awesome.
Yes.
So, were you working full time when you were writing your book?
I was. I had started working where I am now. Impress.org mm-hmm. is the parent company. I work for mostly with a product called GiveWP, and I deal with software that works for nonprofit organizations. So I help nonprofits around the world be able to raise money for making their part of the world a better place. And so while I was doing that full time, I was still married at the time. I'm not anymore, but I was still married and I still had kids at home. My daughter was still living at home when I was working on the book. And so I, that's why I had to kind of sequester myself away to kind of get away from some of those things. I couldn't write during the day, Monday through Friday, because I had a job. Evenings was difficult because I was home with family. So taking 3 weekends away during that year to be able to just sit down and focus was so important.
Yeah. You have to figure out like what way works for you, right? Like some people can do a little bit at a time or have an afternoon a week or whatever, but that's really great that you were able to figure out a way, whatever way works for you, right? So
exactly.
Yeah. So what are some things that you learned through that writing process and what, especially while working full time, what kind of lessons did you learn from that?
So one of the things that I think is important, and this really goes along with your whole theme of this podcast about, you know, that you can do it too, is that you don't have to do it alone, right? So success doesn't mean I did it all by myself. Success usually involves a team of players. And so while I was the person writing, I was able to call on other proofreading. I was able to call on other people to help me do that gap. You know, my now ex-husband could stay home and make sure that, you know, the cats got fed and things like that. So I literally wasn't doing it on my own. I hired a young artist to do the cover artwork, so I didn't have to figure out what that should look like. You know, those kinds of things were super easy. I shouldn't say super easy. The book was, it's not easy to write a book, but it made it easier because I didn't have to worry about those things, right?
Right.
So those were the easy parts. And so I learned that. I also learned that I can do it, right? I can. Like I'd always wanted to write a book and it just felt so Herculean. But when you sit down and you take it bite by bite, you know, chunk by chunk, you can do it. Especially if you give yourself a deadline. That was a soft deadline, but I made it. If I'd gone, you know, 14 months, I wasn't going to be like, oh, that's it. I can't publish it now because I took too long, right? But I gave myself the year to do it. And then I found ways to make that happen. And so that was super awesome.
Yeah. So having that deadline and then you're looking at how you need to get it done and absolutely getting that support and getting and utilizing that help. And even though you're writing a book where you're showing off, you're showcasing your expertise, you're not an expert in everything. So getting that help with the design and the proofreading and all that, that's a very much important part of the process, right? And
absolutely.
As you know, writing a book is not that simple, right? It's not just putting pen to paper or typing on your computer. There's a process to it. So that is awesome. And that is a really great example of you can do it. Regardless of where you're at, because you were working full time, a mom, everything, all of that stuff going on, and yet you still were able to publish your book with your guidelines and your timeline.
Exactly.
So, was there any, I'm trying to think, like, was there anything that would be something you would tell yourself when you were younger that, to give yourself advice on where you're at now so that you don't have to learn the hard way?
It one of the things that I was timid. I don't come across timid to anybody, right? And I come across as this huge extrovert, but I grew up as an introvert and a very shy, timid wallflower, and I really had to work through that as a kid, and get to the point where I wasn't afraid to stand on a stage, or I wasn't afraid to advocate for myself, or advocate for people I love, because I was the kid who was terrified to order a pizza, like to pick up the phone and call and order a pizza. And I think a lot of people who deal with depression and anxiety, like I have my whole life, that's not uncommon. I say that to people with anxiety, they're like, oh my God, me too, But the truth is that there are ways to work through some of those things. Sometimes it takes outside people to help you, and sometimes you're able to do it for yourself when you really can think about things analytically. And the same won't work for every single person who deals with anxiety, for example. But that's what worked for me, was to be able to kind of step outside, look at myself in the situation, assess it with a analytic brain instead of an anxious, emotional brain, and then eliminate the barriers logically. And so I was able to work through things that way. Like, why can't I write a book? What do you mean nobody's going to read it? Of course they're going to read it, Of course, the funniest thing about it is I haven't marketed it at all, even though it's a marketing book and I'm a marketer, because I'm like, I wrote it, that's good, And then sometimes things happen in your life, whether you want to say it's God or the universe or whatever, however you think about the bigger picture than yourself. And I recently have, I don't want to say donated the book, but I have given the use of the book to a nonprofit that I'm a volunteer for, Orange Heart, bigorangeheart.org. And what Big Orange Heart does is they provide mental health counseling for people that are in the remote work community. They started out specifically for WordPress. We are now for anybody in the remote work community who needs mental health support. And so we're doing a fundraiser starting on Giving Tuesday, which is December 1st this year. And anybody that signs up for a $10 a month donation gets a copy of my book in PDF. And they're gonna be that's gonna be downloadable for them. And so it was a way for me to say to give back to the community even more, and provide people with some actual things that they can use. Like, read the chapter. I can't even think of the chapters right now, but read the chapter on business cards. Read the chapter on how to decide who to donate to as an organization, or how you qualify a good client, what makes a good client for you, and why you should say no to some clients. So those chapters that are in there, I think, are super helpful to people. Why should I make somebody pay for that if I'm really not trying to make a lot of money off of it? So in this way, I can actually give back to an organization that's helped me a lot. Just by volunteering, I get so much out of that. And so I'm able to do that. And so, yeah, so if people go to Big Orange Heart on Giving Tuesday or after, they'll be able to make a donation and download the book.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. And so, especially because it's something you personally understand and live with, and so that's very kind and a great way to share your expertise and help people as well, right? So that's fantastic. So it's interesting. I also was am an introvert, so
Doing
I
extroverted
understand.
things, right?
Yes, doing extroverted things and putting yourself out there. So let's talk a little bit more about putting yourself out there, because a lot of people feel like they can't do it, or they have to have
Absolutely.
XYZ in done or whatever. So
Well, I think
what's it?
a lot of it is looking for external validation from a lot of people. It's like, I can't unless somebody tells me I can, I'm looking for something specific to read to you here as soon as I can find it. Not just like, checking my email while I'm talking to you. Okay. So this, I want to read to you the dedication of the book, and there's a reason for that, because it matches perfectly with your theme here. It says, this book is dedicated to all the girls and women who have ever been told they couldn't have a career, couldn't have a family, couldn't do it alone, couldn't be part of the team, couldn't accomplish, couldn't keep up, couldn't do, couldn't be. You can. And to my amazing daughter, Lydia, who has always told me I could and I can, I did.
That's
So
awesome.
that
I
fits,
love
yeah, so
that.
that fits perfectly with your whole theme.
Yeah.
Because you're right, there are barriers, right? There are always those self-doubts. I think the biggest thing to overcome when you're trying to succeed with something as big as perhaps writing a book or building a website or starting a business or sometimes just getting out of bed, right? Is it's your own
Exactly.
self-doubts.
Yeah.
It's your
Yeah.
self-doubt. It isn't external people telling you you can't do that. And so all the people in the world saying, "Oh my God, you should write a book," isn't going to make you write a book unless you really feel within yourself that, yes, I can write a book. Why the heck not? I could do that, you know? And not even worry about whether anybody wants to read it or not. That comes later,
Yes.
you know. But
Yeah.
whatever's inside you that needs to be said, say it, and say it the way that you need to say it. That's why artists paint. That's why poets write poetry, right?
Yeah.
So if it's a book about business or if it's a Harlequin romance novel, you know, if it's in you to write it, write
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing, right? Is that if you have this idea, then you really owe it to yourself and to the world to share that. And I congratulate you for
Thank you.
moving forward and going after your dreams. And I love that you, how you tell that story about how you were a little bit jealous in a good way. Because I find that kind of a motivating thing. It's kind of like, I also kind of like, proving someone wrong as well is can be
Yes.
a little bit. It has to be about yourself though,
Sure.
right? Right. So, oh my goodness, there's so much that we've been talking about. So for part of publishing a book and marketing a book does often relate to public speaking because it's no longer where the you publish a book and then like thousands of people buy your book and it's just you're instantly famous and the world comes knocking, right? So we have to put ourselves out there. So what
Absolutely.
kind of tips would you give people who want to get into that? How would you suggest they get started?
So let's say you've already got the book mostly written or even all the way written. So like take it to the next level of where you're, what are you going to do with it now that you have this thing? First of all, buy a bunch of the copies yourself. So I know it seems silly that you have to buy them, but somebody has to print them and that has to be paid for, right? So when I buy pop copies of my own book, I'm paying a heck of a lot less than what it would cost to buy it if you're somebody else. So I bought 150 copies of my book. I autographed them to anybody that wanted one. I sold them to people who wanted to buy them off me. I took them to meetings. I took them to meetups. I took them to the church, and I put them in as many hands of as many people as possible. I told everybody I knew that I was writing a book. I told everybody I knew that I'd written a book. I posted it on Facebook. I tweeted about it. It went up on Instagram. I put it in LinkedIn. Like every place that I could think of to talk about this book is what I did. I put it there. The one thing I didn't do that I wish I had, and it just really came down to the fact that I was working full time and couldn't focus on the book as much as I wanted to, was I wish that I found a venue to do a book signing where I could get people in the room, read an excerpt of it to people, and talk about it that way. But even on my own podcast, sometimes I'll grab a copy off the shelf next to me and hold it up and say, "Oh, I wrote about that in my book," you know? So you cannot be afraid of self-promotion if you want to be able to have other people read what you've written. And you didn't write, yes, you wrote it for yourself. Of course, I wrote the book for myself. Just that sense of accomplishment. I'm an author. That's awesome. But it wasn't just for me. I wasn't, that's what we call a journal. I wrote it for other people. For me as well. And so if it was good enough for you to write, if the idea was good enough for you to share, then you have to be confident enough to tell people about it so that other people will read it and share it. And one of the biggest compliments I ever got was I got a text message. Actually, I think it was a Facebook post that tagged me. One of my friends opened up my book under her Christmas tree that Christmas of 2018. She had put my book on her wish list, on Amazon wish list, and her in-laws bought it for her. So there on Christmas morning, she opened up my name on the cover, and she was so excited that she posted about it on Facebook. And so that was pretty exciting. So when you know that people are actually reading it, really getting something out of it, that somebody wants you to autograph the book before you send it to them. My dad wanted a copy, made sure I autographed it too, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. It's a very personal thing, especially. I love that idea, and it's also, even though you haven't used it as a marketing tool that much, it is still a part of your marketing, right? And I see your kitty there. So that's a really good point too, is that it's like the new business card, right? And it gives you immediate credibility as an entrepreneur or business consultant, whatever it is, whatever your topic is, it gives you that immediate credibility that you wrote a book, and it opens so many doors with that. That's
Actually, hired an employee last year, and when he came in for his interview, I knew I wanted to hire him. I gave him a copy of my book, autographed it, and he left with it. You know, we had talked about it a little bit prior to that, and he was probably the first person. I don't even think my mother has read it cover to cover yet, but he read it cover to cover, and then he gave it to his dad to read, and then he gave it to his girlfriend to read. And it actually helped him know that I was the person he wanted to work for because I was that passionate about what I do. So yeah, so
Yeah,
you can
that's
use the book for
awesome.
more than just writing a book.
Yeah, absolutely. And the opportunities to give it to people, and that's the wonderful thing about sharing a physical book too, right? Is you have it and you like give it to someone. There's a lot of meaning, and people don't throw away books. They
No,
share
I
them
mean, eventually they
usually.
might, but yeah, usually they don't. Usually, if they've gotten something out of it, then they either keep it and share it, or buy other copies and give away, or pass it on to somebody else. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And even when I have cleaned out my bookshelves, I've donated the books versus because
Yes,
someone else can read it, right?
exactly.
Yeah. So now, where are you at now in what are your next steps? What are you looking forward to? What projects are you working on?
So I am heavily involved in WordPress, not just using it for myself and customers, my personal customers. My day job is working for a WordPress plugin, and I'm also heavily involved in the WordPress community. So I'm part of the next team, releasing the next big version of WordPress. I'm on the marketing team for that. And I blog for other businesses, and I'm the director of marketing for Sentry Hosting, and I do a lot with the WordPress community that way. But my next venture, if you want to know like what the next thing I'm doing, like to grow myself, is I really want to put together an online course and do an online course specifically on how to manage a WordPress website. So somebody else builds it for you and give it to you. Like, what do I do with this thing now that I have it? How do I know that I'm not going to mess it up? And so I want to just do like a not a very extensive course, but a course that anybody who is an agency owner could then gift to their customers to say, here's the website I built for you. We'll continue to manage it or not, but here's how you do add a post. Here's how you change the phone number. Here's how you do those things that people who aren't tech savvy have no idea and are sometimes afraid to do. So that's one thing I want to do. And then I've been seeing a lot of people have a misunderstanding or questions about what customer success means. Like, I'm the head of customer success. And we were the first people to think of that term. And so I've been getting tagged in on Facebook, I'm sorry, on Twitter, because people are like, oh, Michelle Ames knows all about, that's my Twitter handle, Michelle Ames. Michelle Frechette knows all about customer success. She's the head of customer success. And I actually am not, we're not just a one person customer success. I have a team of four, including myself. And so I thought I should do a webinar on what does customer success mean, especially in WordPress and for like a hosting company or a plugin company like ours, and how you can help your customers achieve success through having a customer success department. And so I think those are the next two things I'm going to work on.
Just a couple of small things to add to your plate, right?
Well,
There's a
hopefully I
little
won't
bit.
be alone. I'll find people to work with on those things. It doesn't have to be just me, remember?
Well, if you need a beta tester for your online course, I'd be happy to do that.
Perfect. I will.
I love courses and that, so I'd be happy to test with you.
And the
So
other thing I
yeah,
love is
that
photography.
photography,
I know.
yes. And I've seen some of your photos on Instagram and that, and they're beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah,
So,
the last headshots were for somebody very near and dear to you, and I love
yes.
taking her picture.
Yes. Yes. So, how I'm curious, like with all of this going on, what does your day typically look like?
I hate mornings, so I don't
Okay.
even crawl out of bed until like 7:30, quarter to 8, get dressed as fast as I can, which is not fast. And then I work in an office for my company until 5 o'clock every day. And then depending on the day, so Mondays I have three coaching clients, 5, 7, and 8 o'clock, 5:30, 7 o'clock, and 8 o'clock, and I coach three people right now through their businesses. The first Monday of every month, I have a meetup for here in Rochester. Right now it's online, of course. And we have a WordPress meetup, and so I get people to come in and speak about different things in WordPress, and we have little clinics and things like that. We help each other. And then the rest of the week, in the evenings, I either crash on my couch, think of something creative. I've started doing counter cross stitch again and little things like that. I love just playing on my phone, doing Sudokus and watching TikToks and building Legos. I love building Legos. So it just depends on what I need to have upcoming. So I do a lot of speaking, public speaking as well. So sometimes there's no preparation involved, depending on if it's just an interview. I shouldn't say just, if it's an interview, versus if I'm giving a big presentation where I have to build my slideshows, et cetera. So depends on what has to be built for those kinds of things, what kind of research I have to do.
So for your
So
public speaking, is that primarily WordPress, or do you talk about other things too?
it's primarily WordPress, but I also talk about customer success. I've done some summits on that, on what customer success looks like. I talk about things as blogging generically, so not necessarily WordPress blogging, but blogging in general. And then just anything else people need. I used to teach courses for the local Chamber of Commerce here in Rochester on public speaking, on business writing, things like that. So I kind of like think of myself as a Jill of all trades,
Yes,
and
that's exactly
able to
what's
help.
coming in my head.
Able to help people with what they need. I have a philosophy in life that even if you believe in reincarnation, you still get one trip through this time. And so I try to take advantage of everything that sounds exciting and interesting to me. And if there isn't an opportunity, I'm looking if I really want to. But things like starting a WordCamp. There was no WordCamp Rochester. And so I founded WordCamp Rochester, but we have one every year now. There wasn't one here, I built one, kind of thing. And so I just look for opportunities wherever they are. If somebody says, "Hey, do you want to be on my podcast?" or "Hey, do you want to write a blog post?" I find a way to make it happen because I want to be able to share and help other people in their journey as much as I've been helped in mine.
That's awesome. That's very giving, and I love that you're also balancing out your life too and having that couch time, because you
Totally.
gotta have that. We can work so hard, but you have to take care of yourself and nurture yourself as well, or else you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to sustain it. So
Yeah.
you're an excellent example, Michelle, of being able to do whatever you set your mind to. I love that. Like I'm sure that your course is going to be awesome, and that the webinar will be really helpful to people. That's gonna You have fantastic tips, and I've learned from you. We've had some conversations, and I've learned some great stuff from you. And you're a really great coach and a really great person, and I love that. Thank you so much
Okay.
for joining us.
You're
Go
welcome. If I
ahead.
could leave you with one tip. This is my other tip is
Absolutely.
it's okay to walk away from projects that don't bring you joy. So there have been things,
Yeah.
projects that I've started, website that I've started to build and thought, why am I finishing this? I don't want to do this anymore. Or if I started writing a novel once. I got three chapters in and was like, I don't even like these characters anymore. I'm done. And I don't
Yeah.
feel bad that I didn't I can finish it because like it served its purpose. I learned something about myself in that process, and that was if it's not bringing me joy, I don't have to finish it.
That's a
Now that's different
really
than if
good point.
mean, I still have to do my work every day, right? I go to work. It's not like, oh, I don't feel like working today. I mean, I have to finish that, of course, but I'm talking about the personal projects that there's nobody's keeping score. It's like, oh, she didn't finish that book. You know, take one demerit. No, put the book aside and do something else that brings you fulfillment and growth. So that's my biggest tip is do the things that you love and to heck with the rest.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Michelle. So,
It's my
what is the
pleasure.
best way for people to contact you and stay connected with your material?
Yep. So my website is worksbymichelle.com, and you can contact all my social media through there. You can email me through there. You can get a link to my book and, you know, all my blog posts and things like that. Everything is on worksbymichelle.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us on the You Can Do It Too podcast. So you
Thank you for
can
having me.
subscribe. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad you're here. You can subscribe to our podcast to get the latest episodes. And if you've got a few minutes, I'd love for you to rate the podcast and leave a review. I truly appreciate it. Remember, just like Michelle and I, you can do it too. Have an amazing day.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.